Question of Balance with your host, Ruth Coplin. In the first hour of the show, we ask questions that matter, discussing topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome back. I hope you've had a good week. Welcome back, as I said, if you're a regular listener. And if you're a new listener, I'd like to let you know this is a two-hour show combining thought-provoking conversations out and about on the street with in-depth arts interviews with special guests. For the arts interview in the second hour, I'm pleased to be interviewing critically acclaimed Syrian-American hip-hop artist, poet, and peace activist Omar Effendem. In this hour, this week, we're considering, can we be national and global citizens? I've been out and about getting opinions on the street to get us thinking. First up are Meryl and Ali. Let's hear their thoughts. Hello, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thanks for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Hi, I'm Meryl Lerrell.
And my name's Ali.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're thinking about, can we be national and global citizens? The term world citizen was first used, they think, by Diogenes of Sinope 2,500 years ago. And when asked where he was from, he said, I'm a citizen of the world. And it seems today that that's even more relevant. We're so more connected with technology. Bearing all this in mind, I'm wondering, do you think of yourselves as national and global citizens?
I'd say I think of myself as a national citizen first, because I'm not really, I haven't been to many places in the world, but I like to think that I think about, you know, global events and global, you know, how what we do here impacts the rest of the world, and, you know, how you're really connected to many people on the internet in all sorts of different countries. And I'd feel weird calling myself a global citizen, but I try to think globally, I guess.
Right. Okay, what about you?
I think that's pretty much a similar view to mine, because being necessarily a younger person, haven't been quite as out and about quite yet, but would hope that the nation that I affiliate myself with would be a globally thinking nation, that we wouldn't be, that we would try to do our best in thinking as ourselves as a part of the whole world, as well as not necessarily just American or anything like that.
Right. In an article for Trends and Insights for NAFSA, the Association of International Educators, Madeline F. Green states, global citizenship entails an awareness of the interdependence of individuals and systems and a sense of responsibility that follows from it, navigating the treacherous waters of our epic interdependence. According to Altenay 2010, it requires a set of guiding principles that will shape ethical and fair responses. So this is one definition of global citizenship, which sounds like it's similar to what you're thinking, but some people think of global citizenship as requiring a sort of one world system. Is that how you think of it, or do you think of it as sort of like, we're global citizens because we're all on the globe, we're all on the earth, we're all human beings here together? Do you ever have that sense of not being American but actually being a human being?
Definitely, and I think that would maybe be more important as the technology and everything gets even more integrated, when it's even easier for all this sort of communication and the systems to kind of meld together. But I think we're just kind of starting to get there, not necessarily that it's quite happened yet perfectly. So I would hope that maybe one day that we'd be able to work together better as an entire globe of people rather than a whole bunch of scattered nations, but we haven't quite figured it out yet, so.
Right, what about you? Do you think about one world system as meaning global citizenship, or?
Yeah, I can see that. I would think that eventually as any, you know, population of intelligent life evolves, eventually they would move to a one political system instead of all these kinds of different nations. I don't know. You've got the UN and stuff like that. It seems like there's some strides being made in the right direction, but I don't see it really happening for a pretty long time.
Okay. I mean, obviously, because of the technological advances that we have, we're more aware of all the problems that different countries and people have in the world, and the conflicts that there are, you know, in Europe, for instance, at the moment, there's a huge problem with all these refugees and immigrants trying to leave countries, you know, like Syria, that have got the most terrible things going on that people really have no control over, and they're trying to escape. So I'm wondering what responsibility you think we have to be part of a global solution to help the challenges facing people in other areas of the world. You know, are we all in this together as humanity, or is it each country for itself?
Well, I would say, I think the big thing with that is if we were trying to transition towards, you know, a political system that didn't have, you know, all these different interconnected nations, it has a lot to do with resource and geopolitical pivots and stuff like that, where we need to figure out a way for us to basically strategically divvy out, you know, all these different, I mean, when you have stuff like gas pipelines and oil and mineral resources, everything like that, those play a pretty big role in the way that our countries interact with each other. So we need to figure out like a coherent and consistent system to divvy out those resources in a way that makes sense and doesn't, you know, leave anyone in the whole global system sort of left out of that. And that I think would be a big challenge when it comes to the negotiating table, because a lot of countries have a lot to gain if they can just sort of like hoard away their rare earth mineral resources for themselves or anything like that. And that's really the story with you know, most conflicts in the Middle East, in our dealings with China and Russia, everything like that. I mean, going back to the Cold War, gas pipelines and stuff like that has played a really big part in the way that our nations deal with each other. So I think that figuring out a way to sort of work past those difficulties and those conflicts would be a really meaningful step towards achieving something like a one world system.
Yeah, I mean, they say that the wars of the future are actually going to be about water rather than about oil. And you're bringing up on a global level, you know, who resources belong to. But, you know, even on a national level, I think it's interesting to think why some individuals control resources just because they own the land that they're on. And if you expand that out to the world, if we thought of all natural resources as belonging to all of us as humanity, what that would look like. I mean, obviously it's completely different to what we have now, and particularly contrary to a capitalistic way of looking at the world, but it is interesting, I think, to think about that, definitely. What are your thoughts on whether we need to be part of a global solution, you know, whether we're all in it together or every country for itself?
Yeah, definitely. So I feel like right now, though, the way that we handle things in sending resources and help towards countries that need those sort of assistance, like Syria or, for example, with the hurricane in Patricia, we were totally ready to, you know, go in and be able to help, and hopefully would be willing to accept refugees in those sort of circumstances if countries needed it. And I really don't think we're doing such a great job right now. I think a lot of countries are not open to helping one another, specifically not necessarily, you know, oil resources or anything, but weird need to, have our land is our land. And I don't know whether or not that's like a politician thing or a mental mindset, like a capitalistic mindset thing, but We have a lot of need to keep things to ourselves, and I feel like we should be sharing a little bit more, because definitely those countries need help that their governments or their people necessarily can't give them or aren't in situations to do it. And I don't think we do a very good job right now of helping some of those countries in a way that we probably could with our resources. And then sometimes we also go a little bit too far where we help a little bit too much, and that's also
interfere,
not okay.
Maybe.
Yes, interfere. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that balance is really hard, and I can't really think of a great example of one where we've done it well, somewhere in the middle right now.
Right.
So I would hope that we would be able to find a better middle ground eventually between the helping and the forcing of the help.
That's a good point, do you see some of these issues as being linked to increasing population, that because we're not really thinking about limiting the population on the planet, you know, all the issues we have, good and bad, are expanding?
Oh, totally, yeah, because it's just a limited, you know, resource sort of thing. We're only given so many things when the Earth was created. You only had so much stuff, and with more and more people, you're just using more and more stuff, and eventually you're going to run out, and that's going to cause conflicts, right? So you just have to find a way either to create more resources or venture out or understand population changes, and I feel like we don't have enough the science necessarily to see, to predict future sort of things. People give really broad ranges of, you know, how long are we going to have water, how long are we going to have gas, and I feel like that's really hard, and people don't get it until you can really give them concrete. We're running out in 2 years, like, what are you going to do? And so then I think we're maybe going to come up with more options, but when we have such not a good way to, you know, find out those sort of things, I think we're going to flounder a little bit until we have some concrete numbers and people can actually kind of visualize what's going to happen.
Yeah. So it sounds like, from what you're saying, that although you identify as a national citizen, you are advocating a kind of global awareness.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, because I feel like you have to think that big, because if you're thinking really small, you're not, there's very little growth and things that you as a person can do, and you as, you know, we as a nation or a globe or whatever, if you're not thinking about other people, there's not very much thinking to be, you have to think about other people, and I think that's important.
Did you have any final thoughts?
I think population is definitely a really big concern, especially when you think about it in terms of non-renewable resources. You know, there's just stuff that we're gonna run out of, and it's only gonna be exacerbated by a rising level of population. What's especially troubling is how there's really huge, densely populated areas of people that if current trends with ocean waters rising and stuff like that, Bangladesh in particular, you know, if sea levels start to rise, there's going to be really, really densely populated areas that are just going to be basically wiped out. People won't have anywhere to live, so there's going to be a big crisis with that. And so I think it's important moving towards, you know, more renewable sources of energy, moving to sort of you know, try to curb the current trends in you know, climate change, that kind of stuff is really, really important, because I think obviously a big aspect of being a global citizen is to take care of the globe itself. So there's a lot of really, really troubling things with that really need to be addressed. And the only way that can be addressed is as a global issue. Single countries can't fix the world's problems by themselves.
Yeah. Well, it's a good point that you bring up. And I think, you know, to a small degree in America with the whole thing about, you know, immigration, but to a much larger degree in Europe right now because of the flood of refugees, there is this kind of push-pull between, you know, some countries wanting to sort of pull up the drawbridge and just, you know, we're going to just be safe and in our place and everyone else is just going to keep out, or whether you do reach out like Germany is doing and say, you know, we have to help and we have to absorb these people, and we can because we're rich enough and we have the resources to do it. So there definitely is a big push-pull in the world right now, which, as you say, is only going to be exacerbated if climate change gets worse and more people are displaced.
That's well said. I don't really have much more to comment on that. That's totally right. It's just more people over time, you're going to have more problems, and that just means more people are going to be looking for other places to go and things that they need more resources. Yeah. So,
well, thank you so much, both of you, for your opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation after these messages.
Imagine living without stress, anxiety, or fear? And can you imagine a life filled with harmony and inner peace? Is that even possible? The Ananda Yoga and Meditation Center in Scotts Valley offers simple tools to help you become more effective at work and more centered in the face of life's challenges. At Ananda, we offer yoga classes for everybody, inspiring workshops, devotional chanting, and Sunday services based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. Our teachers and therapists are highly trained professionals who work together to inspire a healthier you. And your first Ananda Yoga class is always free. Visit us at anandascottsvalley.org or call 338-YOGA. That's anandascottsvalley.org or 338-YOGA.
Did you know about the Santa Cruz Art League on Broadway in Santa Cruz? Founded in 1919, it's 96 years young and provides a wonderful gallery space for local and national artists. It's a great place to view art with 14 shows a year and also to gain support if you're an artist yourself. There are art classes and weekend workshops, many taught by open studio artists. If you become a member, you receive a newsletter, discounts on classes, gifts and exhibit entries, images of your art on the Art League website, and guaranteed participation in the annual members show. It's also a great place to meet artists. Visit the Santa Cruz Art League at 562 Broadway or the website at scal.org. That's scal.org.
Listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copler, my on-the-street conversations. I hope the interviews are giving you some food for thought. Perhaps as you listen, you can wonder how you would have responded to the questions had I stopped you. Well, the next people, who spoke to me were Charlie, Nate and Noel. So let's hear their thoughts.
Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
My name is Charlie.
My name's Noel.
My name is Nate.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. This week we're considering, can we be national and global citizens? Peter Kaufman on Everyday Sociology blog states, globalization is often understood as the process through which products, people, ideas, culture and capital are transferred around the world, creating a system of global integration. Whereas in the past, some nations or societies could stand alone and be self-sufficient, today all nations and almost all people are part of an interdependent global order. So kind of bearing this in mind, I'm wondering, do you think of yourself as a national citizen and a global citizen, or do you identify more with just your country and not so much with the rest of the world? You look like you were going to speak, so that's why I went to you.
Got this.
I don't know, I guess just in terms of thinking, I kind of consider myself just part of America, not really, because I don't really think that broadly or bigly, so.
So you're more concerned about just America's sort of issues, yeah?
I guess so.
What about you? Do you think of yourself?
Is it okay to include, like, my religion?
Yeah, of course, anything, yeah.
Okay, so I'm a Christian, so I consider us all one.
Uh-huh.
So I believe that, like, yeah, I consider myself a part of, like, even Africa or Europe, that if I went there, I wouldn't be like, you're separate from me, but I would consider myself a part of that place, as well as them being a part of us. I believe it's like more of humanity as a whole.
Right. Okay. What about you? What? Yeah, it totally makes sense.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, the Bible talks about how we should consider the sufferings of our brothers as if we're like in chains with them. And I don't think we can consider those. I don't think we consider ourselves suffering with them unless we consider ourselves living with them too, in their joy and in their good times as well as in their bad times. So I would definitely say we're all united, at least as believers, like we're all come under the umbrella of God's grace. As far as socially and economically, like there's no real one world currency or one world religion, so we all do contribute to each other. We all do lend a hand to each other in ways. There's emergency relief efforts, but I don't think we're all... I do think there is independence in some degree. We are separated, nationally speaking and globally speaking. Even though we all inhabit planet Earth, we all have set up, in a sense, boundaries and where treaties need to come in order for us to partner with each other.
Right.
So...
Were you gonna
say? Yeah, I think big thing about America is sometimes we do consider ourselves the best, better than others, and so it does create division. But I am totally, personally against that division. I think that it would be better if we didn't take from others to benefit ourselves, but if there was a give and take on both sides, that everyone would kind of flourish
right.
in their own nation.
Yeah. Ron Israel, director of the Global Citizens Initiative, states, a global citizen is someone who sees themselves as part of an emerging sustainable world community and whose actions support the values and practices of that community. And so I'm just wondering, in the light of that and also what you've been talking about, what responsibility do you think we have to be part of a global solution to help the challenges facing the people in other areas of the world? You know, are we all in this together, or is it each country for itself in terms of trying to solve, you know, problems of conflict and poverty and things like that?
I just saw a video on Facebook where there were one bowl in the middle, one food of like the supplies, and they each had a long spoon and they were reaching for the stuff themselves, but they couldn't get it to themselves. But then as soon as one person decided to give and reach out to feed another, the others came around them to help, and then that person was able to in turn feed them back. And I think, I don't know, that's why we end up with really poor places and others rich, instead of attempting to benefit both parties.
Yes.
You know, so yeah. I think that, that guy's name, more of a global view.
Israel, yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be way more beneficial if we saw things that way.
Yes.
You know.
What do you think? Do you think we have a responsibility to be part of a global solution? I know you said you don't think much about outside America.
Yeah, I mean, I think we absolutely do. Like I said, I only kind of think in terms of America, but I think that's part of the problem. Like, we should be thinking, the average person only thinks in terms of America, but I think we should be thinking bigger picture and how we can all band together and help each other, because we are all the same world, so.
Yeah.
I don't think that we can like help each other unless we consider other people better than us. If we do it, we can either do it. So there's two schools of thought. There's like you can really help people, or you can be helping yourself. And then in helping yourself by helping other people, you would either be doing it so that your status would be better, or you would just be doing it when it's easy for you. And there are times when helping other people in other parts of the world is going to be difficult. It's going to be super difficult, and it's not going to be the easiest thing in the world. So we need to consider those other people better than ourselves in order to really help them.
When you say consider them better, do you mean give them more consideration than ourselves, or do you mean actually think of them as being better than us?
I think that we should think that, because our view of other people is like they need help. Once they get that help, then they're done. But we need to see them as their actual people, not so much better than ourselves, but we need to think of them better than we already do. Not just people in another world that don't have the resources we have, but people just like ourselves that need these things, that need community, that need relationship. And just giving them food isn't going to be enough. And also, like, we can provide food for them, but at the end of the day, like, we're not going to be around forever. Like, 10 out of 10 people die. So no matter how hard we help somebody, like, eventually we're not going to be there, so we need to be like training them to take care of themselves and to use the resources that they have to help themselves. So
I mean, there's specifically issues going on in Europe now to do with the conflict in Syria and various other conflicts in the Middle East that are creating a huge exodus of refugees and immigrants who are just putting their lives at risk to flee situations they have no control over. And so there's an obligation on various countries in Europe to try and absorb, you know, hundreds of thousands of people who are in desperate straits. And so, you know, it's very kind of up in the world at the moment how much we are one community or not. I mean, in situations like that, do you see that we should be reaching out to try and help and absorb people coming from these sort of desperate situations?
I think it's definitely tough, because I want all the stuff I'm saying to be true, like, yeah, let's just help others and they'll help us, but sometimes that's not so true. Like, I think about Iraq, and like, the thing was, do we keep troops there to benefit them because we know it's going to benefit us, or do we pull them out? And there was that whole like argument for a long time, and I think it was the harder thing to do that we had troops there for so long. But I don't know, I think, like Nathan was saying, I think that sacrifice is something that we might not understand too well. Like, it might be a sacrifice for our like comfort and the things we love in order to help others. And I think we'd need to come to terms with that.
Like, do you think part of the issue is that we don't have a sort of global community identity? I mean, you know, because we tend to think, as you were mentioning about aid and you're mentioning about going in with arms, that we go in and we kind of, it's like a quick thing, you know, we're in, out, you know, you give the aid or you go and fight or whatever. Do you think if we had more of a sense of being a global community, that would start to foster a more caring sort of attitude generally between countries rather than it being so divisive? I mean, obviously I'm being slightly idealistic, but...
I would definitely say that America has the resources and the capability to help people in other countries on their own without any other country's help. But we just don't do it. And we only do it to our advantage. And I think that as far as helping people, it's definitely a thing of morals. Like, you know, people in, what was it, Syria? You know, they're being attacked, like, we need to help them. Well, why don't we need to help those people who are attacking them, too? And a lot of the world would say, because they're doing something wrong. Well, who says that's wrong? And so...
Well, in a situation like that, that is the issue of, like, who is in the wrong? There's all these different factions. There's the government. Yeah. There's the rebels. There's the people who are just caught between all the different factions, and everyone's just getting killed.
Yeah. Yeah, so... We see what's wrong, we see what's right, and we help, but there's people in both ends of the debate and our ends of the war, and if we're just picking one group to side with, we're just picking one set of morals to side with instead of just picking people to help. So definitely, like, get those people who are being kicked out of their homes, get them places to live, get them the resources they need. But don't just step in with, like, okay, now we're going to take it from here. Just be like, okay, this is their battle. We're going to help them with the resources they need to get back on their feet, to take care of that. And so I think that's the best way we can help people, is just being there for them.
Just hearing you talk, I was having sort of like a higher even idea of, you know, maybe what we need to work towards is some sort of global conflict resolution forum where, you know, when people are in conflict, there's some global place. I mean, obviously the UN, as you mentioned, I think, you know, that was the idea of that doesn't work that well. But, you know, maybe in an ideal world, that would be a way also to help. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Finally, I wanted to ask, obviously people from different countries have very strong senses of their identity, whatever that means, like being an American, you know, certain values, what America was founded on, or, you know, if you're from Italy, you have the whole, you know, food culture, you know, art, all of the culture that comes with your particular country. And people are very attached to that, and, you know, that's valid, and it's very interesting to look at people's different culture. Do you think it's possible to maintain a really, really strong sense of that national identity and have this global awareness? Or do you think we have to give up some of our national identity to feel more in tune with other cultures?
Mm-hmm. There's definitely differences between cultures, and to understand them, we can't go in. I can't go into Africa with ideals that have been set up in America for years. There's going to be differences to some degree. So you have to be looking at, okay, what's good for them? There's like... there's honor societies or shame and honor societies, things like that. So their idea of culture, their idea of status, their idea of family is different than ours. Their idea of marriage is different than ours. So we need to understand those things and ways things have been set up in order to. So take like what you believe is the way to help them and then filter that through their system of living. Don't just take it and filter, okay, this works here. Now let's translate that here because it's not going to work perfectly there. Maybe 1 out of 100 times it will. You might get lucky, but I mean, there are different ways. There are different, everybody has a different situation, and so we need to understand that before we can go in and try to fix something. So,
what about you? Do you think we can have a really strong national identity and sort of be globally aware?
Yeah, I would say definitely understanding a lot of the other national identities so we can all try to work together to become one. I mean, like Nate was saying, going to a Africa as an American and going in with that mindset isn't going to work. So I think accepting each other's differences and cultures and just working together, I think it's definitely key to consider others and not just think of your own background or your own national identity, but just accept others.
And did you have a final thought on that?
I would say back to like the sacrifice thing, like I would say we have to sacrifice some of our identity as the great America and we're so awesome and like we are, you know, America, it's awesome, yes, land of the free, home of the brave. Like, yes, that's all true, but what are we really if we're not going to help our brothers and sisters in need around the world? And so I would say, yeah, I think we should sacrifice some of our identity in order to benefit others. And like, I don't know. Yeah. Like I said, there's guys that have studied this stuff for so long in politics and stuff, and I would hope to be able to trust them that they are doing some for other nations and that it's more difficult than I might think. But I would say I throw out food all the time. The amount of food wasted in America is like, you know, something like 80% of produce or something like that is thrown away. And just to... I think there's actually a law coming up now that you can't throw away extra food, and that we're working towards donating. And I think that that's a big step too. Like, look at what we have in excess, and give to those who have minimally. But,
Well, I think there needs to be more of a balance between health and safety, and like common sense, and that, because a lot of the reason of all this wastage is all these laws, you know, for health and safety.
True.
You know, which, you know, I'm not saying that's not important, but at the same time, there has to be some level of personal responsibility and ability to make your own decisions about this food is completely not off. I'm going to give it to a homeless person, you know, or whatever. Yeah.
Yes, totally. Yeah. I think you're right.
Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Bless you.
Yeah, bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my On the Street conversations. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversation after these messages.
The music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland. Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and It's a Question of Balance.com. It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Hi, this is Jackie from Integrity Event Planning. Are you coordinating an event? Don't know how you'll get it all done? Stop sweating the small stuff. We plan everything from family events to fundraising and corporate events. Contact Integrity Event Planning for your next event. Check out our website, integrityeventplanning.com. Integrity, it's what sets us apart. With 16 years of experience, we negotiate with your bottom line and needs in mind. So sit back and relax and let us serve the champagne. We've got this.
your next event, visit integrityeventplanning.com. That's integrityeventplanning.com.
Dream, baby, dream.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. At the beginning of the show, I mentioned my special arts guest this week is Syrian-American hip-hop artist, poet, and peace activist Omar Effendim. And part of the reason I chose this week's topic, can we be national and global citizens, is because of the current situation in places like Syria and pondering whether we have a responsibility to be part of a global solution to help the challenges facing people in other areas of the world. Are we all in this together, or is it each country for itself? So that's what we're considering with this Can We Be National and Global Citizens. I was out and about, as usual, this week on the street, and the next person that I spoke to was Brandon.
Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Brandon.
Well, thanks, Brandon, for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're considering, can we be national and global citizens? The first use of the term world citizen is ascribed to Diogenes of Sinope, living 2,500 years ago. When he was asked where he came from, he responded, "I am a citizen of the world." This was a radical claim at a time when a man's identity and often security was tied to his citizenship of a particular city-state. Today, even though we have the ability to travel virtually anywhere in the world, we're still very conscious of our national roots. In addition, with the amount of conflict and poverty in the world, the number of refugees and would-be immigrants seeking a safe haven is increasing, which is challenging people to consider what national identity means and how it should be protected or expanded. So, bearing all this in mind, I'm wondering, do you think of yourself as a national citizen and a global citizen?
That's a lot. I would probably identify as a national citizen. Yeah.
Okay, and why is that?
I don't know that I know enough about the other global cultures to identify as a citizen of the world. I'd like to think that I am concerned with issues that affect people across different nations, but mostly concerned with issues that affect us here in America.
I mean, I guess there's two ways of identifying being a global citizen. One is that, you know, at some point we are actually like a planet of citizens, and should there be other life, you know, we would be the Earth citizens, you know, relating to Mars citizens or whatever, with actual rights and privileges. But then there's the other way of thinking about it, that we're all humanity, that we all live on this Earth, and therefore in that sense we are global citizens because we're all on the Earth. I mean, is that something you ever consider?
Not till posed with the question. I guess in an environmental capacity, I would like to think of us all as global citizens, right? Because we all have to be keepers of the earth. I guess when I say I identify as a national citizen, it's because I don't know that I know enough about other cultures to... I just don't know if I know enough about other cultures to identify as a global citizen in that capacity, but it's definitely in an environmental one, a global.
Right, yeah. I mean, we hear through the internet now a lot about things that are going on in the world, particularly, especially it seems, conflicts and problems. Do you think that you feel any responsibility, or we have any responsibility, to help with, you know, be part of a global solution to other countries' problems, or... do you think, it's really only up to us to solve our own country's problems?
Oh, gosh, that's a loaded question. I think to a certain extent, I think sometimes as a country, we tend to insert ourselves into conflicts that we don't fully understand, and that can be a little bit problematic. I think when it's issues of, like, human rights or, you know, a genocide, then we have a responsibility to insert ourselves. But I think there's some geographic conflicts that we just aren't familiar enough with, and we probably shouldn't be inserting ourselves into.
Right. When you think of yourself as a national citizen, how do you define your nationalism? And I mean, obviously immigration is a hot topic, you know, who counts as being American, who's going to be let in, who is not. You know, in Europe there's floods of immigrants, refugees coming from areas of conflict like Syria that are desperate to start a new life. I mean, how do you see nationalism as being defined in these times? How would you want nationalism to be defined in America?
Oh, gosh. Again, tough questions.
Sorry.
No. I guess, in a way, our country, America specifically, is founded on this notion that, you know, give us your huddled masses, and then it's a melting pot of different people. So I would like to think that, you know, we could accept refugees or immigrants. I do understand that there is a system to maintain, and it's best if we can bring those immigrants in a very responsible way. But at the same time, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think when you step back, you got to think like, well, my family's from Germany and Ireland, and we're not necessarily natives, so.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answers the question at all.
No, it does, yeah. So your sense of being a national citizen, is that about your roots, do you think? The fact that you grew up here, you know, your family was based here, and you identify with certain things about America, perhaps ideals and customs that make you feel a citizen of America?
Yeah, I would probably say that.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much for your opinions.
Yeah, thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my Out and About feature, where I have conversations with people on the street on the week's topic. And each week I try to ask questions that matter and stimulate our thinking about issues by hearing different perspectives. And I have no idea in advance what people are going to say, and I feature everyone I interview. So I'm not trying to equally weight opinion. I'm just hoping that by listening to what others have to say, it might make us turn the topic over in our own minds and be inspired to think about it. Well, last this week, I spoke to Matteo and Tammy. So let's hear their thoughts.
Hello, my name is Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thanks for stopping to be interviewed. What are your names?
My name's Tammy.
And I'm Matteo.
Great. Well, thanks so much for taking part in our Out and About feature. And this week we're considering, can we be national and global citizens? In her article on global citizenship for NAFSA, Madeline F. Green states, national citizenship is an accident of birth. Global citizenship is different. It's a voluntary association with a concept that signifies ways of thinking and living within multiple cross-cutting communities, cities, regions, states, nations, and international collectives, according to Shuttle. People come to consider themselves as global citizens through different formative life experiences and have different interpretations of what it means to them. The practice of global citizenship is for many exercised primarily at home through engagement in global issues or with different cultures in a local setting. For others, global citizenship means first-hand experience with different countries, peoples, and cultures. For most, there exists a connection between the local and the global. However, there's lots of different ideas of what it means to be a global citizen. Obviously, most people have a very strong sense of their national citizen identity. So I'm just wondering, do you think of yourself as both a national citizen and a global citizen? And if so, what does being a global citizen mean to you?
Well, I think of myself as being part of the world.
Mm.
And more, the lines are getting fuzzy. You know, am I American? Or I've done a bit of traveling and I've connected with people around the world. And I like to think of myself as just global. I'd say global. National. I'm not so much. I'm not as patriotic, I guess, as I used to be since pretty much 2008. I mean, since some things have gone down in this country that I've been disappointed with politics and such. So,
right.
And also I did some traveling like in South America, and I just love people from around the world. Everywhere I go, I just feel like we're more and more, we are really one.
Yeah, so you're getting a sense of more of a global community of humanity.
That's exactly how it feels, like a community. Like I can see people that I've never seen, like Peruvians, and just say, oh, I feel so close to them, and I feel like we're alike, you know.
Yes, yeah. So. What about you?
Oh, what a question. I'm on the board of directors of two nonprofits that are very focused on the evolution of consciousness and the ideals of human unity. And I visualize a day where there are no passports for individual countries. I don't think money needs a passport. Certainly air and climate change doesn't need a passport. And as American citizens and U.S. nationals, I feel a responsibility for how much we spend on military. At this point, we've passed the rest of the world combined on how much military spending we're doing. And we have bases in, I think, 75 countries, and there's only 190 countries. And we're wreaking a little havoc on the globe. And regarding climate change, we're one of the largest contributors to the human factor of climate change. And all these things don't have national boundaries. So in some ways, I just feel like my national identity just happens to be where I'm born. Yeah. I do leave the country often and get this perspective easily that we're all in this together, and we need to be thinking more on a global level with all of these issues. Water also. So yeah. Climate change, water, energy and power, all these things don't, they ultimately come from the sun, and the sun consciousness doesn't have a global boundary. I wish everyone could spend time in the space station just to pull back a little bit and get that perspective. Everything's, we're all tied together, and we're all evolving together or breaking down together.
Right. Yeah. National citizenship, as it has come to be understood over the millennia, kind of starting really in ancient Greece, imbues citizens with certain rights and protections. So translating the idea of citizenship in that sense to the global level presents challenges as to what privileges, obligations, and protections a global citizen would have. The other idea of what being a global citizen means, whether it could be a kind of citizenship as more of a global community, is more of a conceptual idea. So I'm wondering, do you think in order for us to be one, we require one world system, or do you think we can have diverse cultures and nationalities and still be as interconnected as we need to be?
I think that I've thought about this a lot. I don't think that we can, just like the money system is unfair. Some of us are rich and some of us have nothing. Mm. You know, that puts a separation.
Yeah.
So because there are so many different ideas, there can't be one system.
Right.
There has to be ungirded laws. There has to be flexibility. There has to be a system that takes into account personal situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, you know, I mean, it's just, yeah, I don't believe one government for the whole world. That's not going to work. And as far as I'm concerned, I do believe that every single human person needs free food, free healthy food, free clean water, free energy, free clean air, and
access to education.
Full access to whatever education, any time in their life.
Yeah.
And shelter, a good shelter over their head. I believe that as a human being on this planet, every single one of us have that right.
What about you? Do you think we need one world system, or do you think we can have lots of interdependent systems with a global overview?
Both. It's complex. An overarching system will help keep the human ego in its place. You know, at this point, we only have the power to sit down at the table with mass murderers. We don't necessarily have the power to bring them to justice. And we need people, we need watchdogs in this world. We need people buffering the human ego in this world. And everyone needs these access to these basic rights that we're being governed by fear, we're being governed by debt, and this isn't working out. Even in the countries that get the lion's share of the credit, being America and any hegemonic power, really, we can talk about the whole G8 in that light. But ultimately, we're all in this together, and a simple birthright, because my ancestors happened to be born here, this very land that we're standing on is a loney land, and we have a very short different. We have a myopic view of things as humans. We need to start being able to think back generations and ahead generations. And this impending crisis is going to help the whole world come to the realization of human unity. And everything that's not working is in the process of breaking down and will break down. And I think what survives is going to be a cohesiveness that we've never experienced before.
Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Ruth. Nice to meet you.
You too.
Yeah, me too. Thank you very much.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And thank you very much to all the people who took part in the On the Street conversations this week. The purpose of the first hour is to try and ask questions that make us think. So I hope that might have been your experience listening to this hour. Next up is my special arts guest, critically acclaimed Syrian-American hip-hop artist, poet, and peace activist Omar Effendim. Known for taking audiences on an inspiring lyrical journey, Omar ponders the parallels and differences between East and West in his songs. He's toured the world with his groundbreaking music and raised thousands for humanitarian projects. And I'll be talking about all of that in the second hour, as well as playing some of his music. So I hope you can stick with us. And remember, if you have any comments or you want to listen to any previous podcasts, you can go to the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. And you can email me, Ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I'll see you after the break.